Hi, you're listening to Screen of the Crime.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Maggie, and this is a podcast where we talk about true crime.
And what would happen if your favorite TV and movie characters committed those crimes.
We're so sorry this episode's late. It's been a busy week.
It has been. It's a busy time. It's like midterms right now, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
whack. It is midterms right now, yes.
Yeah, no, that's whack, but it is.
I had mine last week. It did not do so hot on them, but that's it, yeah. I have a job interview tomorrow.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's for a full-time position. Yeah. I don't need a full-time position if anyone cares. So I really shouldn't be going to this job interview, but it's too late for me, so I'm going to put on my suit and miss my work shift for this. So that's great. I'm having a great time. That's all I got.
That's for all me. For you?
I was rejected today from a position I really wanted. And I'm sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's been busy. It was really nice on Sunday. Like, it was warm, and I was like, oh, maybe it'll be, like, nice, and then it's just poor. Yesterday was, like, cold and kind of snowing, and I was just, like, raining today. I'm like, nope, never mind. It still is like this here in Rochester. There's just very little good weather. And the sun was out, though. I'm like, oh, wow, I can feel the depression gone for like a day. And then I had a meeting Sunday night. Then I got home. I was like, nope, never mind.
We had a meeting.
Yeah.
Don't exclude me. This is not an ad, but Sticker Mule had a discount. It was 10 stickers for $1. And they ordered 30 stickers. And they just came in the mail. So now I have stickers with my art on it because I do art sometimes,
mm-hmm.
And they're nice, and I'm gonna sell them to people who are willing to buy. Also, I was in class today,
mm-hmm.
Mass communications, if anyone cares. There's one film major in my class. Doesn't look like a film major, doesn't act like a film major.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad, and I was kind of upset by it. But I don't talk in classes because, I don't like to, and one of the questions was like, can anyone name a low budget film that has an audience that, like, a target audience that was really, like, direct? And I was like, well, Paranormal Activity. But I was like, he's gonna say no, Maggie. What's Paranormal Activity, you dumbass? So I didn't raise my hand, and then he clicks the next slide, and Paranormal Activity's fucking there. And I was like, oh, I was right.
Damn.
Should have raised my hand. The lesbian girl who sits next to me with the Vans hat would have been like, oh my god, she knows about cinema. But instead, my laptop died, and I just sat there, staring at the blackness of my screen, and the lesbian girl next to me saw it.
That's funny.
So that's my life.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I had it at work today. I had to go, like, so now my current thing I'm doing is working on, like, the phones and, like, redoing the directory for the School of Art.
Sounds fun.
But, like, today, I was, like, I was going through, like, all the, like, the phone bills and, like, cross-checking, like, the directory with, like, the phones. And, like, there's a bunch of corrections that need to be made. And there's, like, one phone line that is in a room that no one knows where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just does not exist. It's not labeled like all the other rooms, and it's so strange. So I was, like, running around, like, to all the, like, tech desks and, like, ITS and stuff and being, like, hey, like, I'm looking for this room, like, do you know where it is? And everyone's just like, I have no idea. Like, even, like, not even, like, the students, but, like, people who worked at, like, the managers there were just like, I have never heard of it. So I'm like, all right, well, that phone's being disconnected. So that's fun. But I'm like, what is this phone? It's, like, it said, like, glass, like something in like the glass apartment, but like the room it's in is nowhere, like, or the room it would like hypothetically be near is nowhere near glass. So I'm so confused. So, but I was like running around today trying to figure out where the fuck this phone was. And I'm like, don't know. So, yeah. And apparently I'm going to be sent to help another faculty person who works. But the thing is, like, because I've been working on, like, budget stuff for a while. And then my boss today was like, oh, like, since you've, like, caught up on, like, a lot of stuff I need to get caught up on, like, I'm going to, like, give you to, like, the woman who's, it's like her office has a door and it's like the ones who's on the other side, but she works in HR and she's like, oh yeah, like, but she can't, doesn't have student workers because it's like HR and it's all like very confidential. So she's like, you can work with her. She's like, you can work with her because like you've worked with me. So like I trust, like I told her like, oh, she can trust you or whatever. I was like, confidential fucking tea. Oh. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know when that's going to happen. I have to figure out all these fucking phones first and connect all these phone lines. So we'll see. But I don't know.
Work was really slow today because it was the career fair.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everyone's doing that.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was yelled at by a grown-ass man because we put tomatoes on his sandwich during a rush.
Oh.
And I was like, sir, first of all, you said mayo at me, and it's very loud. And I said, I heard tomatoes, so I said tomatoes back at you. And then you witnessed me put the tomatoes onto the sandwich.
Yeah.
And you said nothing.
Also, tomatoes are the easiest thing to take off.
And then
off
we
a sandwich.
Handed you the sandwich.
Yeah.
And he said, nah, I don't want that. Make me another one without tomatoes. Now, keep in mind, we're having a rush.
Mm-hmm.
There are four of us working. There's a lot of yelling going on because we have to yell orders. I'm roughly 15 sandwiches past where this man was. I wanted to punch him in the face because he's not a student. He's an adult. He knows we're all students.
Yeah.
And he had the audacity to be not even, can you please just make me another one? I'm so sorry. Make me another one without tomatoes. Uh-huh. Like, I would have taken a tomato and thrown it in his face.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to make more sandwiches, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if I could just quit this job. I like my job, but, like, if I didn't have to, you know, like, if I could do whatever I wanted at this work,
mm-hmm.
I would have blown up at him.
Yeah.
I'm having a very bad first 7 weeks, and I don't have time for 45-year-old men to be like, I don't want tomatoes on my sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know, like, that.
Just last week, we had some fucking woman with her 3 pieces of bacon, which we had to cook at a different setting during a rush, which means we had to put it in the oven by itself without any other sandwiches, and then it was overcooked, and she said, I'm not paying for that, and left. Like, they're never students.
No, it's never students.
Like, bitch, you get paid 15 times more than me, if not more.
Yeah.
You can fucking deal with your 45-second cooked bacon.
Yeah.
On your fucking salad. You know, I'm just sorry. Been really upset lately. I don't know why. But sorry. So tired. I want to go to bed. But should we talk about the case?
Yeah.
Okay, have you seen 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri?
I haven't, no.
Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen it either. A mutual friend of ours said that it wasn't good. But it's got a guy I like in it, but apparently he has a racism redemption arc, which is weird, so I'm not for that. But this is the real story behind the story that is the 3 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yep.
I'll explain. So this is Kathy Page. Everything I have here is from this People Magazine article and Unsolved Mysteries fandom wiki.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the morning of May 14th, 1991, 34-year-old Kathy Page was found dead in her car, stuck in a ditch in an apparent car accident near Vidor, Texas. As investigators looked more closely, however, they found evidence to suggest that her death was no accident. Bum, bum, bum. She had no obvious wounds or injuries on her body. Her car was barely damaged. Soft drinks in the front seat hadn't even spilled. Her feet were pushed back to the seat rather than stretched forward towards the pedals. Finally, even though she wasn't wearing her seatbelt, she remained in a reclined position in her seat. It was obvious to police that her death was not a result of a car accident.
Yeah.
Vidor Police Chief Rod Carroll said that her death was most likely a crime of passion.
Mm-hmm.
The crash scene was just 100 yards from Kathy's home when authorities went to her home. Her husband, Steve, answered the door. The investigator told him that she was dead, and he was apparently upset. Investigators noted that his behavior was odd. At first, he was obviously crying, but then he would stop and act as if nothing was wrong. Since that morning, he had been the prime suspect in Kathy's death. However, he claims that he is innocent. Kathy and Steve had been married, oh my God, for 13 years, and had two daughters, Erin and Monica, at the time of her death. Steve claimed around that time she felt that she no longer wanted to be married to him. They were planning to separate, but wanted to work things out. Her sister, Sherry, however, disagreed with his claim. She says that the marriage was beyond repair and that Kathy was starting to move on with her life. She claims that Kathy was planning to divorce Steve soon. She moved out shortly before her death, but he claimed that they remained friendly. Sorry, he moved out, not she.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Kathy asked Steve to babysit Erin and Monica while she went out with her friend Charlotte. She allegedly told him that she was going to meet Charlotte in Beaumont. That night, she left around 11:15 p.m. By 4:15 a.m., she was dead. When she was found, she wasn't wearing any makeup or jewelry. The autopsy determined that she had been strangled. She had a broken nose and a black eye. There were bloodstains on her underwear and skin, but not on her outer clothing. Okay. Authorities believe that she was killed in another location. She was then cleaned up, dressed, and placed in her car. The autopsy also showed that Kathy had engaged in sexual intercourse shortly before her death. Authorities learned that she had, in fact, not gone to meet Charlotte that night. Instead, she had spent the night with a boyfriend in a motel in Beaumont, which is about 10 minutes from Vidor,
mm-hmm.
her home. Her boyfriend acknowledged that they hadn't had sex that night. He later passed a polygraph examination. The autopsy report also noted that whoever Kathy had sex with that night had a vasectomy.
Interesting.
Her boyfriend had not had one. Meaning that she had sex with another person that night.
Mm-hmm.
Authorities discovered that Steve had a vasectomy a few months earlier. When questioned, he admitted that he and Kathy did have sex that night, but that it occurred before she went out. Sherry does not believe that this occurred the way Steve said it did. She does not believe Kathy would have had sex with him right before going out to do so with another man.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Sherry learned from Steve's sister-in-law that he had called two different phone numbers the night of Kathy's death. One was Charlotte's and the other was the motel.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry and her father, James Fulton, believe that Steve became furious after finding the phone number and discovering that Kathy lied about what she was doing that night. They believe that when she came home, he demanded to have sex with her. When she refused, he attacked, raped, and strangled her. After realizing he had killed her, he, feeling remorse, cleaned her up, redressed her, and placed her body in her car. Steve claims that he was not responsible for Kathy's death. He believes that everyone is assuming that he is responsible because he is the estranged husband.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that he has received threats on the phone stating that the same thing that happened to her would also happen to him. He claims that a member of a prominent Italian family in Beaumont called the Beaumont Mafia was responsible for her death and that the police are framing him. Meanwhile, Kathy's family believes that the police and the district attorney have been covering for Steve and that they have essentially let him get away with murder. They noted that when crime scene photos of Kathy were taken, there was not film in the camera.
Oh.
Also, it reportedly took police 3 years to convince the district attorney to issue a search warrant for the Page home. Finally, it is common knowledge around Vidor, that Steve's parents are close and close friends with the chief of police. Kathy's family is convinced that authorities were involved in a cover-up in this case. Authorities, however, claim that this is not the case. Steve claims that authorities focus on him from the beginning and have refused to investigate any other leads. Since Kathy's death, her family has sued Steve for wrongful death. Both cases so far have ended in mistrials, and to this day, her murder remains unsolved. Did it sound like the guy from...
BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Anyway, here's some of the suspects. It's two. Steve is the primary suspect. The clear evidence of staging in her car and the fact that it was... that it was found close to their home points to him being responsible. He, however, claims that the member of the Baymount Mafia is actually responsible for her death. He claims that he has received threats and from members of this group. Mm-hmm. Here's some more information. Kathy's family sued Steve in civil court, claiming that he was responsible for her death. Her mother testified that she had seen Steve vigorously washing clothes on the morning of the murder. The following day, her relatives witnessed Steve cleaning the carpet in the home. He claims that he had spilled grease on the carpet.
Interesting.
Her sister also testified that Steve has abused Kathy. Neighbors also stated that they heard loud arguments and banging on the walls coming from the Page home. Steve admitted that he did not want Kathy to be autopsied. Witnesses testify that Steve was left-handed. Autopsy determined that Kathy had most likely been strangled by a left-handed person.
This is pretty much, I mean, it's him.
In 1999, Steve was found financially liable for Kathy's death in civil court. I don't know what that means. Well, I know what financially liable means, but I don't know how you can be financially liable for a death.
Yeah.
Even.
Without, like, yeah, how would...
Without being
how
did you get of the murder.
Yeah, how did you get there?
Yeah. He was ordered to
like,
pay...
Like, in this situation.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, but whatever.
He was ordered to pay $200,000 to her family. Mm. He was also later convicted of repeatedly desecrating her grave. He's still living in Texas. He has yet to be charged criminally for her murder. Tragically. Their daughter, Monica, died in 2011 at the age of 28. Also, Kathy's mother, Dorothy, passed away in 2007. In 2018, Kathy's case was profiled in Cold Justice. They interviewed dozens of witnesses in it. They also found a new witness who reported seeing Steve walking away from a ditch where Kathy's car was found the night of the murder. The witness did not come forward sooner because he was with his mistress at the time. Steve was also interviewed. He continued to deny any involvement in the case. Despite the new evidence, the DA did not feel that there was enough evidence to prosecute him. However, investigators are continuing to look into new leads and hope to present the case again. So the billboards, how do they come into this? I'm sure. Paige's father, James Fulton, began putting up billboards along I-10 and Vitter area. In 2012, he put up one accusing Steve of the murder. It said, quote, "Steve Page brutally murdered his wife in 1991. Vitter PD does not want to solve this case. I believe they took a bribe. The Attorney General should investigate." That's what it said.
Damn.
Other billboards put up included, "Vitter police botched up the case." That's one. Mm-hmm. Another one, "Waiting for confession," and "This could happen to you." So the director, creator, man of three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, named Martin McDonough, whatever his name is, saw these billboards. And created a story around those billboards. He did not know the real story.
Interesting.
He was like, I see these. Like, what if this is what, like, happened? Like, what if the reason for these billboards is this? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that is why Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri was made. Which I think is interesting, because it has nothing to do with this case.
Yeah, I say, because I was expecting, like, from what I know of the movie, I was like, oh, that's not what I was expecting, but...
Yeah, no.
Damn.
He doesn't know, yeah, well, I mean, he probably knows now, but, like, he didn't,
well, yeah.
He saw them, and he remembered them, but he didn't remember where they were, clearly, because it's Texas. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Wow. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, sorry, I hit the play button so hard. Okay, so after much debate in my mind's eye, And also
and out loud.
And out loud. Just because I was like, I've gotten to the conclusion I need to start watching violenter movies because.
And you could just watch more movies.
Watch more.
Every time I talk about movies at work, Red never knows what I'm talking about. Mm. And it hurts me.
I feel like Red doesn't watch very many movies.
Yeah.
Like, and if he does, he's watching whack shit. You know?
Sure, yeah, I guess.
Anyways, I was gonna talk about Pet Sematary. I have seen the movie a while ago. I have read the book.
But as she said earlier, she has no reading comprehension.
I don't. It's so bad. This is why I can't. Like, I can read. This is why I like movies better, because I remember them. Books, it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, everyone likes movies better.
No, I know, but I just, like, genuinely have such a hard time, like, remembering things I read.
I watched the movie in middle school, but I have amazing cinematographic memories. So I know what happens.
Yeah. Oh, well, I say I watched the movie like a while ago, and also I've seen the Dead Meat for it.
We'd also like to clarify this is not the remake that we are speaking of.
No, yeah, this is just the original one.
The OG baby.
Yeah, the one because Stephen King did the original one, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes with like all of the remakes. It's like he did an original one. Everyone's like, that's shitty. We're making a new one.
Well, I mean, he didn't do the original Shining. I mean,
he didn't do the original Shining, but that's his own thing. Anyway, so Pet Sematary. Quick little recap. There's a family that moves to Maine. They move from Chicago to Maine. And the dad is a doctor. And he is going to be, like, the doctor at the University of Maine Health Center. And he has, like, this family. He has two little kids. He has, like, a younger daughter and then, like, a baby. The baby's name is Chase, right? Or, hold on.
I watched this in middle school.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not expect you to know the answer to that, but I'm just going to look up the names.
I don't think that's correct.
I don't know why. I feel like it starts with a C. But we'll see. But so the family moves to... Oh, Gage. That's something similar. It's Gage. What?
It's not that similar, but okay.
Yeah, so the family moves to Maine, and they, like, have this house that's, like, along this, like, road. It's kind of, like, more of a main road, and there's, like, a couple that lives across the street, and it's this, like, very nice old man, and, like, they're, like, talking, he's, like, shuffling around, and then...
They're not a... He's just a man. He doesn't have a wife.
Yeah, he does.
He does?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was dead.
She dies. Yes. Oh. But she's alive when it starts.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. But so he's, like, showing them around. And, like, they have, like, a very large property. And there's a pet cemetery, like, when you walk out back through the woods. And, like, one day, like, they all go out and, like, walk up there and stuff. And so the husband, Lewis, his wife, Rachel, has, like, a very... like, kind of complicated relationship with death because her sister died and, like, she was sick and stuff. So she's, like, kind of uncomfy by the whole thing. And then, like, after they go to the pet cemetery, like, they have a cat and then, like, the daughter kind of, like, has
like
that, like...
the cat. The cat had a fun name. What was it, Tess?
Oh, it was, hold on. Oh, my God. It was... give me, like, a hot sec. Church.
Named after Winston Churchill.
Yeah, Church the cat. And, like, the daughter kind of, like, has that, like, little kid thing when, like, you realize, like, things die.
Yeah.
And she kind of, like, has, like, a whole thing about church and, like, oh, church is gonna die. And then,
Church dies.
Yeah, church does die later on. But, one thing, so, like, they go to the pet cemetery, it's, like, all weird, and, like, the old man is, like, oh, like, don't go, like, past here or whatever, because it's, like, you know, fucked up. Mm-hmm. And, so then, it's Lewis's, like, first day at the medical center, and this kid gets hit by a car while he was running, and, like, comes in and is all just, like, he's, like, dead. Like, that, he's not dead yet, but, like,
he's like, dead.
But he's, like, not gonna make it. And then, like, so Lewis is, like, just traumatized, like, first day at work. later on, he has this, like, nightmare thing where that kid that died, like, comes in and, like, shows him, like, they walk to the pet cemetery and he goes past and, like, shows him the, like, it's, I think it's, like, an Indian
burial.
It's an Indian burial ground where, like, you bury things and, like, they'll come back. But, like, they come back, but they're not, like, they're kind of zombies.
They're, almost. Like, soulless.
Yeah, they don't have the soul, like, zombie kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
kind of.
And then he wakes up the next day and realizes that, like, he's like, oh, it was a dream. And then he, like, takes off the covers and there's, like, dirt and stuff all over him. And he's like, oh, shit. So, that happens. Skipping ahead, because this is a Stephen King book, so there's a lot.
Church dies.
And,
they bury him in the pet cemetery.
Yeah, they go out and bury him, and then he comes back.
But he's mean.
Like, yeah, but he's, like, a fucking asshole now. Because, again, like, you know, it fucks you up. Then, like, skipping ahead.
Doesn't he have to... Sorry.
What?
I haven't seen this since middle school. Doesn't he kill Church? Again. Doesn't he, like, euthanize it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they have to, like, get rid of him. So, like I said before, the, like, it's right away in the book and, like, the movie, it's, like, made a point that, like, the main road has all these, like, trucks going down it and that's, like, dangerous.
Sorry, that was shot, like, very close to where I lived in Maine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the old man that I worked with at the Winter Harbor 5 and 10, my only employee, he was talking all about the movies, the Stephen King films shot in Maine, but, yeah, mm-hmm. That was shot very close, because... If you've ever been to Maine, all the roads are, like one-lane roads.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida, we have many lanes.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, Leia. It's, like, all just, like...
But it's like,
windy.
Just one lane, and it's a very, like, it's a main road, but it's, like, a skinny road, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Anyway, yeah, that was
shocking. Yeah, so it's, like, made a point in the beginning that, like, you know... This, like, the road's dangerous. So, like, the family's, like, outside, and then the, like, little kid, Gage...
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. You cracked your neck so hard. Gage, like, runs off and gets hit and gets killed in the road.
Yeah, he gets... Full-on baby gets killed by a truck.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that in middle school. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
And so then it's, like, this whole thing. So, like, later on, like, skip all the, like,
it's a baby trauma. Coffin. Oh.
Yeah. I would, like, I know, like, Stephen King has said, like, this is, like, his, like, scariest book just because of how fucked up it is.
Because of the, yeah, the child.
Yeah. But so, later on, blah, 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 the husband, Lewis, goes and, like, buries him in the pet cemetery. Or, like, not the pet cemetery, but, like, the Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
I'm just calling it that because, like, it's right there.
Yeah.
And, then he's, like, waits, and then, like, Gage comes back, but he's, like, a little, like, evil.
This baby actor is my favorite baby actor.
Oh, really?
Ever. Yeah, well, because to skip all the way to the end,
uh-huh.
He gets, like, hit with, like, the needle, and he kind of shuffles down the hall, and then he turns and just goes, "No fear," and then dies.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
Not that it's funny a child dying, but just the way he just turns and just goes,
especially
no fear.
Especially because it's, like, an older movie, so it's just kind of funny.
It looks so fake.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, like, the baby comes back and is just, like, evil now.
Yeah. He, like, murders people. It's so crazy seeing this little baby go around murder people.
Yeah.
He's under the bed and he slits the guy with the main accent, the neighbor's, like, Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
It's graphic.
It is. It
really gets in there.
Yeah. But he gets... So, the baby kills the wife.
Yeah. He kills a lot of people.
He kills a lot of people. To bring the wife into this. to bring her in. He kills the wife.
Doesn't he kill her in, like, the shower?
Yeah, I think so.
That's vivid.
Yeah.
It's in my mind somewhere.
Uh-huh. And so, like, basically, to bring it back to the case... I think if you did not know what was happening, because I feel like the old guy across the street probably was like, would understand what was happening. But, like, everyone else, it's like, this man just, like, killed his wife. The kid
and his baby.
Well, he didn't.
Well, the baby,
was
dead.
Like, whatever.
Sorry.
I feel like the baby back to life, like, no one would have seen that.
Well, I mean, there. Yeah.
But it's
there
like,
was the funeral, so I don't
think. So I think they would be. Alive. But then I think it would. They would be like, oh, he killed his wife because like he went crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
So like that's where I think it would come in. But then it's like he didn't, so he would just like be like, no, I didn't kill her, like blah blah, blah. And everyone would be like,
no.
And I guess like if he didn't, there wouldn't be any evidence to like take him in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
except one could argue that there was much evidence in that house.
Well, there was a lot going on. But, like, if we're just going strictly on, like, the fact that's, like, unless, like, if he didn't kill her, then he wouldn't have, like, gotten charges for it.
I mean.
He would have gotten, like, he would definitely be, like, the, but I think he would live the situation where it's, like.
Everyone thinks he did it.
Everyone thinks he did it.
Yeah.
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 So that's kind of where I'm getting at that with this, like, from the outsider perspective of the supernatural elements.
But he buries his wife in the pet cemetery.
Yeah, he does.
So she comes back, and she definitely murders him.
Yeah. Just the whole thing.
Because Tess said I could. What I would have done if I was Tess would have been gone, girl, because clearly everyone thinks he murdered his wife. But he didn't, because she faked her death. And if you've ever seen Gone Girl, it's a great movie. And if you've read Gone Girl, it's a great book. I really love the girl. I love Amy. Mm-hmm. I really, she's very petty. And I think that's amazing of her. And if anyone wants to support my GoFundMe to get the Cool Girl monologue on a t-shirt, please Venmo me at Maggie_Sperry. I think it's roughly $25. Thank you. If you don't know what the Cool Girl monologue is, highly suggest you do a little Googling and you read it, because it's quite amazing.
Okay.
But in Gone Girl, it's Nick Dunn. It's their anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get her a present. It's the wood anniversary or whatever. You know how anniversaries have, like, things?
Yeah.
So he went out of his house. He fed a cat. He went down by the shore, which he doesn't normally do. Then he goes to the bar, because he owns a bar. You know what the bar's name is?
No.
The bar.
That's funny.
Yeah, him and his twin sister own it. They live in Missouri.
Okay.
I think I'm right about that one. And then he comes back. And his house looks like his wife was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, like, there's like an ottoman flipped over and his wife is missing. So he calls the police, and the police do a bunch of stuff, and they look at things, and things happen. And you get from Nick's perspective, and then it switches. Half of the book is chapter by chapter. It's Nick Dunn's perspective currently. Mm-hmm. And then the other half is diary entries from Amy starting like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Going all the way up to present. And as the progression of Amy's diary entries go, you realize they met. They fell in love. He became abusive.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely killed her. You know?
Mm-hmm.
She's also, her parents are rich. She's rich.
Mm-hmm.
She's a trust fund baby. Her parents wrote a child's book called Amazing Amy. And she's always been kind of upset because it's about her
mm-hmm.
being amazing. And everyone's like, oh, you're Amazing Amy. When's Amazing Amy gonna get married? When's Amazing Amy gonna have kids?
Oh.
And Amy's a psychopath. Sociopath. But you don't realize that till the second half of the book. But then Nick Dunn, you find out he's been cheating on Amy.
Mm-hmm.
But Amy knew that. But in Amy's books, he's, like, abusive. And you're, like, reading this book, and you're like, oh, Nick did do it. And Nick's like, I didn't do it, but I do have a lover or whatever who's like mm-hmm. his student at a college, and she's got some boy's name. I forgot. It's just, it's like, so it's like a girl's name, but it could be either one,
like Riley or something.
Yeah, but it's not Riley. I think it's just an A. But then second half of the book, it's Amy's point of view present day, and she's like, I am so happy being dead. And then it details how she faked her whole death and how she's been planning this for over a year.
Wow.
How she's pretended that she's scared of needles just so, like, this other thing would pan out. So then, like, it wouldn't seem like she's been, like, taking her own blood
mm-hmm.
to get blood. What she did was she spilled blood on the floor, then cleaned it up how she thought Nick would clean it up. poorly, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, so there'd still be, like, remnants of blood on the floor.
Damn.
And, like, she set up this whole crime scene. It looked like she got, like, kidnapped, but, like, there's this ottoman that if it was shoved, it definitely wouldn't flip over. But mm-hmm. it was flipped over, so it looked like someone staged a crime scene. Because Nick would have done that. She would, like, Google things on his computer. She has this whole, like, scavenger hunt.
Damn.
Because that's what she does. She has a scavenger hunt every year, but he never gets any of them right because he's a shady husband. That's in general. Nick's a shady husband, but, like, he didn't kill her, you know? Mm-hmm. But then, like, if Nick did all the scavenger hunts, he would get to the end and find that, like, he spent, like, over $1,000 on this credit card, but all the shits, like, it was, like, video games and shit, like, in a shed, but he couldn't tell anyone about it. But when he finally finished the scavenger hunt, he realized that the scavenger hunt was all the places that he hooked up with this girl that he was sleeping with, and then he figured out that Amy knew about it, and then he figured out that Amy was lying, but he couldn't do anything about it
mm-hmm.
because he was having an affair and he looked bad in the media and he thought he did it. It was really great, but Amy... Amy is great. It's a great thing. But then she has to end up coming back, and she has this, like, ex-boyfriend who, like, everyone thought, like, they broke up, like, when she was in high school at a prep school, and he, like, tried to OD on her bed.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out that was a lie that Amy made up about him because she's been a psychopath this whole time. It's really great. It's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry from Madea, he plays the lawyer. Which is a serious role.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was reading the book, all I could picture was Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, it was really weird. Not that it's relevant, but it was really weird because the lawyer was described as, like, the southern dude. But then they went to the house and they met his wife, and his wife is, like, this very tall black woman. But they described her as a black woman, but they never described him as black. Mm-hmm. So it made me think, what if, because I always picturing him as Tyler Perry, who's black, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is he white? Is he supposed to be white? Because they never described any of anyone's races until his wife. And I was like, now I'm confused. Is he not Tyler Perry? Neil Patrick Harris plays the ex-boyfriend.
That's so funny.
And that's the only thing I could imagine in my brain was just Neil Patrick Harris. Which, I think Neil Patrick Harris is a little too attractive to be this man, because this man was, like, all described as kind of like rat boy. In my brain, he's, like, a ratty boy.
Yeah.
He, like, really loved his mom.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was, like, a skinny rat boy. Anyway, I really recommend reading the book. It's only, like, a 24-hour-long audiobook if you have 24 hours to spare.
Cool.
And it is really great voice acting. They switch between male and female.
Mm.
What else was I going to say? I was going to say something else.
I don't know. Yeah, that sounds good. I, like, remember when it came out and everyone was, like, really into it, and I just, like, for some reason did not see it.
I know I watched it with my family, and I was like, okay. I don't like Ben Affleck. Like, I mean, I'm sure he's a fine guy. I just don't find him, like, attractive. And a lot of people do. Like, that's why he's playing Batman.
Mm.
Not because he's, a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, apparently in Gone Girl, you see his full dick, which you do. It's not important. There's, like, a shower scene at the end, and his dick's just, you know, out.
Whack.
It's just like, okay. He cool. is taking a shower. But it's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that was spoken about a lot. But I really like the woman that plays Amy. Is good.
Yeah. There's, like, a bunch of movies I'm behind on seeing. Well, I have to see Birds of Prey.
I saw Birds of Prey.
Oh, what'd you think?
It was good. It was really funny. I enjoyed it a lot. They have a lot of... The soundtrack was very good. I went mm-hmm. to the theaters to see that. And I saw Parasite.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was... It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it a lot. It is a thriller, yeah. And I think it's good. I think it deserved the Oscars.
Yeah.
Not that my opinion matters at all. I don't know what it was up against, but I don't think I've seen those either.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think I've seen a lot of, like, the Oscar movies, now that I think about it.
I know that my parents have seen.
Because I didn't see Little Women yet,
which neither.
Sucks, because I really want to see it. I love Saoirse Ronan. I want to see this. Wes Anderson has a new movie coming out.
It does?
Yeah, and it's called The French... Oh, jeez. The French something. It's a human fire. The French something, but I think it's, like, about, like, a newspaper, but it has Timothy Chalamet in it.
Okay.
Saoirse Ronan's in it.
Wow.
And then the rest is just, like, classic Wes Anderson lineup, like, Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, Jason Schwartzman, like all those guys.
Nice.
I think Owen Wilson's in it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but it looks very good.
Exciting, exciting.
Yeah.
I want to see, it's a TV show, This Is Not Okay, or I'm not okay with this.
Oh, yeah.
Sophia from It and Stan from It. His name's...
Yeah. I saw the funniest tweet the other day where it was like a gif of like four people at a table like passing around like cups really fast.
Okay.
And just like sliding them across. And it was like Hollywood like throwing around these like four white kids just in every single goddamn movie. Because it's like Finn Wolfhard's in so much stuff and then like that girl's been in a lot of stuff.
She's only been in three things.
Mm.
If you count It twice. But, like, she was in It, but then she was in Sharp Objects, which mm-hmm. I've heard good things about.
Yeah.
She played a young Amy, or whatever that woman's name is.
Yeah.
And then she's been in this.
Yeah. I think
she's a good actress.
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're bad. I just think it's funny. It does feel like it's, like, there's these kid actors, and they are in so many things.
Well, yeah.
Good for them.
Well, when you think about it, like, Chick from the Breakfast Club was in everything too.
Oh, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? But it's made by the same guy who made End of the Fucking World.
I can see that.
So I think it's gonna be jazzy. Because I enjoyed End of the Fucking World.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I was watching Lock and Key. Welcome to our movie review podcast. I was watching Lock and Key, which is on Netflix. Iceman from X-Men is in it. I know he's got a name, and I know no one knows him from X-Men, but mm-hmm. he's only in it for 2 seconds. But Georgie from It's in it, and it's a weird show because there's, like, brutal murder scenes in it. Like, there's... Like, it's brutal, but then it also feels like a Gilmore Girls type show. Like, not... Mm-hmm. Like, that level of, like, high school drama.
Mm-hmm.
But then also brutal murder and terrible CGI. But I'm kind of intrigued.
That's funny.
You know? So, I'm here for that.
Yeah.
There's other things I wanted to watch that I can't remember. Oh, yeah. So, the guy who made Parasite, his name's Bong, but I don't know the rest of his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know how he made Snowpiercer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, he made a movie between those two. And it was that movie with the CGI hippo pig thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's on Netflix. It's like Kuja.
Mm-hmm.
Kuja. So, I tried watching that with my family, but we don't have Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was no subtitles.
Oh. Yeah.
And they got pissed at me. Real hard because the first half of that movie's in Korean,
mm-hmm.
which I can understand. You don't know what they're saying. But I think if you use context clues, we could have figured it out because we turned it off right when Jake Gyllenhaal popped up. And he was definitely speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to see that movie.
You can watch it. Yeah, you can watch it.
I'm going to watch it now. But I feel like it didn't do as well as his other two. I don't know if Snowpiercer did well. I really like Snowpiercer, but mm-hmm. it just feels like it's a weird movie in between those two movies, you know? Because Snowpiercer's all like, we had to eat babies.
Yeah.
And Parasite's all like, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But it's dramatic. And then, like, this one's like, you can't kill my pig best friend.
Yeah.
And Tilda Swinton's all like, more meat, more meat.
Oh, Tilda Swinton. What a creepy lady.
You got Tilda Swinton. Jake Gyllenhaal's in there. That chick from Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. She's been in another thing. She's in To the Bone, the anorexia movie.
Oh.
It's like Lily James, her name, but it's not Lily James.
Okay. Got it.
So we're on the same page. She's like pink hair. That dude, Glenn from The Walking Dead's in it.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, no, it's got some great actors. It's got this little girl actor. I need to see it.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway. What was I gonna say? Wish me luck on my job interview.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Sorry, this episode's late. I'm so sorry. I keep adding things. I'm waiting for this book, Shrill. It was like, it's a memoir about a fat woman. Because I started watching the show Shrill
mm-hmm.
with the chick from SNL in it.
Which one?
She's got brown hair and she's plus sized.
A.D. Bryant?
Yes.
I love A.D. Bryant.
I really like this show. I think they're like the episode two. She goes to like a plus size pool party or whatever, mm-hmm. and she just feels so happy there. And I'm like, shit, I want to do that, you know, because I hate bathing suits. But I found out episode one, Plan B doesn't work if you're over 175 pounds.
Oh, this is
why. And it's not on the packaging.
Yeah. Which 175
is... That's not even that high.
That is not high at all.
And it just might not work for you. And she had to get an abortion. And I'm like, what? That's
fucked up. Holy shit.
Yeah. So if you're over 175 pounds and you, I would recommend just using a condom. I would go for that one.
Well, I mean, I feel like the thing is, like, I feel like most people, like, even if you don't, like, even if you do, it sometimes, like, can rip or something. So, like.
Yeah, but don't raw dog it, as they say in the show. If you're planning on taking Plan B, it might not work and I wouldn't risk it.
No, yeah.
Just fucking use the condom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some birth control. I highly recommend birth control. And that's my hot take on life.
Amen. Exciting. Cool. Well?
It's hump day.
It is Wednesday, yeah.
I really want this week to be over with.
Me too, but I say that every fucking week now. I'm just like, well, I just want it to be like Saturday when I usually don't have that much to do, if anything. At least I don't have to physically be anywhere usually. So.
Yeah.
Just like.
I want Thursday to be over with. I'm gonna be honest with everyone. I don't want to go to this job interview at all. I'm dreading it so much. And it's only 30 minutes of my time. And I'm there and I do it. But it's the lead up to it that makes me want to physically die.
Well, listen, this time tomorrow we'll be done with.
This time tomorrow, I'll have to be business casual.
But you won't have to be waiting on a job interview.
Yeah, I'll have failed my job interview and have to apply to 15 more positions that I'll never get. So that my job rejection Tumblr can get more content for it. So that I'll never be able to graduate. Anyway, I printed my resumes, so if anyone wants
to go to the hub.
I went to the hub. There was a long line because it was.
Oh my god, yeah.
Just consider yourself lucky. You don't need a goddamn internship to graduate college.
Well,
because if I didn't need an internship, guess who would be graduating? Me.
Right now?
No. Well, I mean, it could if I took 8 classes this semester, which isn't hard because I've done it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I might not even be able to graduate if I didn't get a job. But my bosses are being super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Jane is. She gave me a marketing business card from RIT. She's like, apply. And I was like, okay. Thank you, Jane. She's like my mother, but, like, she's got connections, unlike my mother.
Mm.
Same feeling, though. Same thoughts are there.
Nice.
I think that's all I have to say.
Cool. Yeah, I don't do anything interesting. Well.
Thank you all for listening. Don't kill anyone. Stay hydrated. Bye.
Bye.